Oh, more goofy movie music. So I watched a movie last night, John. If you're just tuning in, breaking news. I watched a goofy movie last night.
This segment is for you, Cuffs the Legend.
Yes, Cuffs the Legend.
Yes, we are 3 days away from the opening of the NBA season, and we're talking about goofy movies.
What is the point of NBA preseason?
What is the point of any preseason?
Right, that's what I'm saying. What, you always rag on it when it's the NFL.
No, I rag on it whatever sport it is.
So do you think the NBA should have a preseason?
No, I don't think any sport should have a preseason.
And yet
you're
going to be calling the Sacramento Throwdown on Monday.
Yes, I am, proudly.
All right. So a little NFL betting trend. We'll get to the Ime Adoka thing in a minute. This is interesting, and this could be useful. This is the kind of stuff you get from like Anita Marks and people like that. John, 64% of NFL games this season have gone under the total.
Really?
Average scoring per game through 3 weeks is the lowest since 2010. Which means if you're betting totals, and a lot of people do, you might want to lean towards the under.
Bergman, look up the over-under number in the Ram 49er game on Monday night.
Oh, God, that's going to be a very undery number. That game's going to be 17 to 13.
So that would be 30. I think it'll be a little. I think the over-under, I'm going to make a prediction while Greg's looking it up. Yep. I think the over-under is going to be 37.
I think it's going to be 31.
It's 44.
No, we're all.
Well,
40,
let's
not,
go under.
Not 44.
Let's go under.
Yeah, go under.
No,
on
I could
that
see.
Game.
Yeah, I actually could see 28-24.
You know who the 49ers are? They're the old Utah Jazz. They just muck up the game.
Yeah.
It's just not a pretty game when the nine. But boy, I'll tell you, their defense is tenacious, and Debo Samuel or something else. They looked awful against Denver. I think they'll probably bounce back big against the Rams. Monday night.
Yeah, it would be better.
I'm less than fully confident about Monday night.
It would have been better had they pulled that game out in Denver.
Correct.
And they wouldn't have as much
coming
incentive.
Off a win.
You always
exactly.
pay more attention after a loss.
But especially, think about this. If the Rams can win that game, they're 3-1, and I think everybody else in the division has a chance to be 1-3. They could open a 2-game lead in the NFC West.
Does this surprise you at all? It's actually down to 43 now, but it's San Francisco minus 2.
Doesn't surprise me. It's in San Francisco.
Yeah, and
still,
they've won.
$20,000 on that, please. $20,000.
They've won
on the minus 2?
Yeah, they've won 6 out of the last 7 against the Rams, the Niners.
We won the big one.
Sure did.
The big one we won.
If that guy didn't drop the interception, it would have been 7-7.
Jaquiski Tart.
Yeah, I bet you that guy's looking forward to Monday.
Yeah, it's funny. There probably don't you think in any Super Bowl run there are moments like that where it could have gone wrong?
100%.
Whether it's Jaquiski Tart.
By the way, not just Super Bowl runs. NBA title runs. When UCLA won their last national championship in basketball, the Tyus Edney play.
Coast to coast.
Well, you know, where they were pretty much dead.
Yep.
And he threw in an absolute circus
against
shot.
Missouri in 94?
Yeah.
95.
And every year you can point to plays like that and say, well, the Rams had a few of them. The pass from Stafford to Kupp in Tampa.
Yes. Saved
them.
For the love of the game pass.
Yeah. And then the Tart drop.
Drop.
Yeah. So
I go back to the 2018 Super Bowl, right? I mean, had it not been for Nickell Robey-Coleman.
Laying them out on a Waffle House frying pan.
New Orleans probably would have been in the Super Bowl instead of
us. Yeah, and the refs not calling it.
Correct,
yeah.
Correct.
Now, you know that I've been very critical of social media.
Do you remember that wide receiver's name?
I do not.
I think it's like, it's Tommy Lee Lewis or something like that. Look that up. All right, so, you were talking about social media.
Yeah, I think social media is a cesspool and it'll be the end of us as we know it. No. But moments like that, Nickell Robey-Coleman,
right.
Tommy Lee what?
Lewis.
Tommy Lee Lewis, you were right.
I was
nice
right there,
poll.
Yeah.
Make social media worth it. Nickell Robey-Coleman was obviously celebrating, goes home, turns on his phone, hit it again, Jorge.
Put that boy on a Waffle House frying pan.
Maybe my favorite social media clip ever.
I think he actually recorded a clean at some point. He did something for us where he...
No, for me. Like,
for you,
yeah. Like, I had gone on the air and said, this is the greatest thing ever posted on social media. So Carlo or somebody was at Rams Media Day, and he said, John, I'm doing this just for you.
Yep.
I laid him out on a Waffle House frying pan, so I have my own version of it somewhere.
Beautiful, beautiful. All right, so this Ime Udoka thing, John.
Well, yeah, so... Woj has posted a story 45 minutes ago, Adrian Wojnarowski, that the law firm probe into Celtics coach Ime Udoka found crude language in his dialogue with a female subordinate prior to the start of an improper workplace relationship, an element that significantly factored into the severity of his one-year suspension. Woj further goes on to say, those findings... described as verbiage on Udoka's part that was deemed especially concerning coming from a workplace superior, contribute to what is likely a difficult pathway back to his job in 2023. But Mace, reading between the lines here of what Woj is reporting.
Right.
This started with an improper... let's say it's
approach text or text or
let's say I walk up to you or I walk up to a woman and I say, hey, can I blank you?
Right.
Okay. And then we end up getting together and have a consensual relationship. Okay.
Yep.
Why is the remark offensive? Is the remark offensive if we get together, if in essence it worked?
Well, I mean, it all depends. It all depends. I mean, again, I don't think we know enough to say. I mean,
right. Based on what Woj is reporting today, it strikes me as odd that Udoka. Okay, so Udoka says something inappropriate to a female subordinate.
Has an inappropriate approach to a female subordinate.
Whether it be verbally, text,
I'm sure
there
are
sending
text messages,
pictures, whatever.
Kind of stuff, yeah.
Something, imagine, go ahead and imagine whatever you find incredibly offensive, and Udoka does it. But then it leads to them having a consensual relationship. Can I not draw the conclusion that it was as inappropriate as it was, that it was well received, or received in the intention that I tried to...
Power dynamic.
You think that's it?
Well, I don't know how he approached her.
Right, but let's say...
I don't know what he did
Imagine in your head it's the most direct approach ever and highly inappropriate and offensive.
Right.
Okay? Send you an inappropriate picture, maybe. Okay?
Yep.
But... a week later, we're in bed together. Okay?
Yeah.
Can she still claim it was offensive?
Power dynamic? Yeah. Power
dynamic. I guess
so. It's all about power dynamic. You know, it's funny. I don't think we know all the facts. I sent you this last night. Matt Barnes has been talking about this, and he seems to know.
Seems to know something.
Here's what he says. He's a great coach. Boston will figure out a way, but, you know, if everything comes out, he'll be lucky if he coaches in the NBA again.
That's
to
a
be
big
honest
sentence.
With you. Yeah.
Which you just read. So, if everything comes out.
Right. And so far, everything has not come out.
Right.
But who, what, 50 people know this story, 75 people, there's no way it's not going to come out.
I agree with you.
Boston's trying to protect everybody as much as they can.
And they should, you think?
I absolutely do. But eventually, there's no escaping the fact that it will come out. There are just too many reporters and too many people looking into this.
And too many... internet sleuths.
Oh, yeah.
You know, who...
Yeah, if you go around and you study the internet right now, there are names, there's stuff.
Well, yeah, you can get... you can find out a lot more facts if you want to, but what still strikes me as odd about the year suspension, which is almost unprecedented, I think I mentioned the other day, the only other time I can think of something like this, somebody being suspended for sexual proclivity, was Leo Durocher. When, and this shows you the sign of the times, in the 50s, Durocher was caught in bed with a married woman, and the commissioner got up, the Catholic Church complained to the commissioner, and the commissioner suspended him for a year. And by the way, it was the exact same year Jackie Robinson debuted with the Dodgers. Mm. So somebody else had to handle that. By the way, this gets portrayed pretty accurately in the movie 42.
No.
Do you remember who played DeRocher?
Robert Wall?
No. Do you watch Law and Order, SVU?
Oh, yeah.
Christopher Maloney.
Oh, Chris Maloney, yeah.
Plays DeRocher.
He's great.
And they call him to tell him he's been suspended, and he's in bed with somebody he's not supposed to be, and he's like, all right, hangs up the phone, just goes back to what he was doing. But
this does happen in other sports. All the, you know, I'm just looking. I just Googled this. Les Miles, apparently. There was stuff about Ed Orgeron. There was stuff about, I mean, there's these things.
Yeah, but in the
do,
case of those two guys, they got fired because they lost.
Well, Les Miles.
M.A. Adoka won.
Was placed on leave and sexual misconduct allegations from his tenure at LSU.
Yeah, I guarantee you, knowing what I know about the SEC, had Les Miles been 10-0, nobody would
have kept him.
Yeah, nobody would have found out about that stuff. What makes this M.A. Adoka thing so unique is he just took the Celtics to the NBA Finals. There is no issue with his performance as a coach. He's really good.
Yeah.
What the Celtics suspended him for was inappropriate workplace behavior. But what strikes me as odd about the Woj report today, and again, you can read this on ESPN.com, came down about 45 minutes ago, is inappropriate verbiage that happened prior to the start of the relationship with the same woman.
Right.
So whatever he did, it wasn't so inappropriate that she didn't get together with him.
Yeah, I just don't know.
Because we don't have all the facts.
Yeah, we just don't have all the
facts. But it's interesting. If you want to read about it, ESPN.com, Adrian Wojnarowski has the latest.
And by the way, since we're in a heavier segment, let's just do this. We'll touch on it again. Last night, if you were watching the Dolphins and the Bengals, you saw Tua on the field getting knocked down again, being carted off the field. And now there is a great deal of outrage about the fact that Tua played last night. The reality is there was no outrage on Monday after Tua stayed in the game after what was clearly a concussion. The outrage happens after he gets hit for the second time in a week. That's what we looked at last night. And John, you said earlier, you don't think anything is going to change. I don't think anything's going to change because of it.
Right. Here's what I'm worried about. I think that this will be high on our radar and very sensitive. If somebody suffers a concussion this weekend and is wobbly, I think they get them right off the field and take care of it. I think by the end of this NFL season, nobody's talking about it.
Yeah.
And that's because there's a history. The movie Concussion, Mace, with Will Smith.
Sure.
Came out in 2015. That was 7 years ago. And then this thing with Tua happens last night. You know, if you walked out of that movie Concussion, there's no way you let Tua go back out on the field. But
nobody
cares. I mean, they're trying to win games.
Right. And by the way, for everybody in the media who today is like, gosh darn it, the NFL, they don't care about player safety. This is nothing new. This is nothing new. Nobody was outraged after he came back out on the field on Sunday. All of a sudden, now they are because he left the game on a stretcher. Everybody in the media who's now suddenly aware of player safety, it's completely hypocritical. And by the way, I include myself in that group.
Yeah, I think everybody, I mean, if we as a sport, and I mean that as coaches, players, media,
yep,
league, let this happen again in 2 weeks. It really is school shootings all over again. We keep getting these school shootings, and everybody says, well, now, well, nothing, you know, this is going to change. They're going to make all this stuff illegal. No. It always fades with time, and we don't do anything about it. That
right.
was Steve Kerr's point.
Yep.
When he went on that rant. And now today, everybody's ranting. You know, look at the – just go on social media.
Yep.
Ex-players, current players. I told the story this morning that the entire 2 hours of Get Up was on this one story.
Right.
They covered nothing else. In 2 weeks, are we still going to be outraged? That's the test.
Nope.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
Everybody's going to forget. All right, coming up next for you, somebody very prominent leaving their job. And, John, I wonder if I could be a candidate for it.
Excellent.
Because I like to put myself into every
yes.
potential job situation.
Yes, I'm anxious to hear who this is.
Plus, the NBA has put out a stats-based win projection project
for
all 30 teams.
Do they have the Lakers 82-0 like me?
I will tell you what they have the Lakers at.
Sure they do.
Coming up next, Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN.
What's up, John? I heard you like this, so I'm going to just go ahead and say it for you. I smacked his ass, and I put him on a Waffle House frying pan.
Yeah!
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Earlier today,
perfect cryo song.
Oh, cryo song! Earlier today, I mentioned that at the Rams Tennessee game last year, I have a friend from Tennessee. Her name is Sarah Craven. She came to see us, and we lost. So we believe that Sarah
bad
is
luck
the reason. Yeah, if you're a fan of the opposing team, do not come and try to find me. Now, if you are at the USC game tomorrow night, come find me in section 120, and I'll buy you a beer.
By the way, how great is this weekend? Tonight, 7:30.
How many beers do you think I'm going to buy?
No, they got to find you.
Yeah, true.
Tonight, 7:30, Washington at UCLA at the Rose Bowl. Tomorrow night, 7:30, Arizona State at USC at the Coliseum.
Yes.
Sunday, full day of NFL.
Yep.
Monday, woo-hoo, Lakers and Rams.
Yes.
This is a good sports weekend.
Jorge pointed out, yes, that is true. They do not sell beer
they don't
at the Coliseum when USC is playing.
Well, you didn't say come. Didn't you say come find you at the Ram game?
Come find me at the Trojan game tomorrow night.
Well, that was a nice safe bet for you then.
Section 120. I'll buy you
popcorn.
A popcorn.
No, hey Jorge, no alcohol.
No alcohol only during the tailgate, and then once you're inside the stadium, they don't sell beer in there.
That's a lost revenue opportunity.
They used to do that at the Rose Bowl, but now they've allowed alcohol now.
Well plus, there's nobody there.
There's nobody there.
There's only like 1,000 people, right?
But I would like to say hello to all 11 people on their way to the Rose Bowl.
Yeah.
Right now.
You are not a UCLA fan.
Nice
I think
is,
I've decided John
nice
is no longer a UCLA
they've
fan.
They've got a 12 pack over there, so everybody will get a beer and there's one extra.
I understand you saying that, but John, I don't understand you saying this about your alma mater.
This is your alma mater.
Because you know what? I like to tell the truth. Our attendance is the bottom of the Pac-12.
Yeah, it is.
I mean,
well, school's just starting.
Right, but there were fewer people at the last game than there have been for a UCLA game since they moved to the Rose Bowl, and they moved to the Rose Bowl in 1982. Now, what you're making reference to, Greg, is school started last Monday.
Right.
So we should get a lot of the students back in there tonight.
Right. So there are more people.
Yeah.
Right. And tickets are available at Costco
for free.
Just stop by Costco.
Just stop it right now.
Or
buy a gigantic jar of pickles.
Just show up.
And you get UCLA
I would take those.
Tickets.
I love pickles. Pickles are delicious.
Or just show up at the Rose Bowl, walk up to the ticket guy and go, can I come in?
Hey.
Hey, Mace. I think I got something here.
Can I come in? And the guy may just go, look the other way and go, did you say something? And then boom, right inside.
Yeah.
I've taken away your UCLA card.
Now,
Bergman, if anyone should be chastised for being
chastised
a fake
coach?
UCLA fan,
well,
how many days did you attend UCLA?
What does that have to do with anything?
That's true.
Well, okay, how many days did you attend USC, Mace?
I worked for USC.
No.
They were my employer for 10 years.
And I went to school there over the summer. I took a class there, but that doesn't matter.
What class did you take?
I want transcripts.
Yeah, I want transcripts.
Doesn't matter. Just because you go to a school doesn't make you a fan of that school, of that team. I went to Colorado. I still like
go
Colorado,
Buffs.
But no. Yeah,
go Buffs.
Go Buffs.
Hey, so your favorite coach is Carl Durrell.
No, he's not my favorite coach. He's the worst coach that the UCLA's probably ever had and Colorado's ever had. So, but look, I watch every single game. I've been a fan since I was 3 years
old. I'm going to watch the whole game, and I'm going to
root.
I'm not going to root against him. I'm going to root for him. I actually think that if they can figure out their defense, like, and not give up 30 points to South Alabama, that they got a chance to beat USC at the end of the year. Now that I see you, what was the score last year, Greg? We beat them by like 50.
Yeah, it was like 42,
yeah,
14
was,
or something.
That was pre Lincoln.
That was your guy. Yeah.
Pre Riley.
That was year of the Clay. You love Clay.
Pre Riley.
You kept telling people, it's Clay Elton's
it's
year.
It's a whole new
Clay
world.
Is it. All right, so, but we get UCLA tonight and USC tomorrow night.
Jorge, what did you want to say?
What section are you at the Rams?
Section 246.
If you're from the opposing team, go to section 246.
Oh, screw Jorge. All right, John, I was somebody very prominent is leaving their job.
Yeah, well, who?
Trevor Noah from the
Daily
Show. Oh,
I saw this, yeah, seven-year run with the Daily Show.
Daily Show's hard to do. I think it's really, really demanding. You think so?
I think you've got a really funny writing staff. Think of all the people that have come out of there. Jon Stewart, Steve Carell, Olivia Munn. They've had many, Samantha Bee. All those people have come out of the – I think that's a bevy of talent there. And you could do that job. You'd be good at that job.
Can I tell you, can I make a confession? Never at any point in my entire life have I watched The Daily
Show. Not even when Jon Stewart hosted. Nope. That was really good when Jon Stewart. Trevor Noah tried a different thing, but.
And before that, it was.
Craig Kilborn.
Craig Kilborn.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I know. I know Liz Winstead, who ran the show for years and years, but I never watched an episode of it. No, and I told Bergman this today. You know, I've never watched an episode of The Office.
You're missing out.
You guys reference it all the time.
Yeah, you're missing out there.
Never once watched an episode.
Never saw Parks and Rec either.
Never saw Parks and Rec. Did you ever watch that?
I've only seen it once.
What? Yeah. Oh, you'd love Parks. If you like The Office, you'll love Parks and Rec. Just don't watch the first season.
I think the reason I never got into Parks and Rec is because I was into The Office. I think I had already, you know, I felt like I'd already seen that genre.
Oh,
did you guys notice the other day we were talking about the top 100 shows?
Yes.
Who did that?
Rolling Stone.
Okay. You know they left out Ted Lasso and Schitt's Creek.
Now, this is the greatest shows in television history.
Yeah, but I mean, I think those two are both in the top 100.
Completely agree with you. How do you make that? First of all, Schitt's Creek ran for like 7 years.
Five.
5 years.
Yeah.
Won every single award you could possibly win for it. I don't know how Schitt's Creek couldn't be on there. And Ted Lasso, I mean, Ted Lasso is the happiest show in the history of the world.
Yeah, I would have put them both in there. I think that tells you that the people doing it were older.
Older, exactly.
You think Ted Lasso doesn't go on because it's only been two seasons?
No.
No.
I mean, there's other shows that have been short.
Ted Lasso.
Like, two seasons is not very long.
Ted Lasso is a landmark show, though. I mean,
it's fantastic. I
love
it.
I don't know anybody that doesn't watch Ted Lasso.
Well, they're crazy if they don't.
Do you know anybody that doesn't watch Ted Lasso? I mean,
no. They're only. If they're not,
well, so a lot of people don't have Apple.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That's true. All right, so I wanted to get to the. We'll carry this over. So ESPN did a what they call win projections based on stats.
Excellent. Lakers first. Who's coming in second?
I'll tell you. Coming up next. All right.
So, okay. Alan Slee was Murphy Bed just had an interesting observation.
What's that?
John Ireland, quote, I like to tell the truth. Also, Ireland, Lakers go 82-0. Both things can be true, Alan Slee was Murphy Bed.
Sure. All right. Hey, think about this. The weekend is here. Probably got big plans. Maybe you're going to the Trojans game tomorrow night.
Bruins game tonight.
Or you're going
no
to
traffic.
The Rose Bowl. Streets are wide open today. Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right. We're just about there, people. It's the weekend. A lot going on this weekend. Rams play Monday night. We'll have that game for you. Lakers open their preseason Monday night. That'll be on AM 1110. Let's see. What else we got? We got Trojans playing tomorrow night at the Coliseum. They do sell beer, so I will buy you a beer.
Oh, that may cost you a few bucks.
It may cost me something. John, the NBA season is upon us. And I would argue that this writer is like the biggest NBA nerd. This is Kevin Pelton. He's into all the numbers and down in the details and all that stuff.
Okay.
So I'll explain how he did it first.
Okay.
So his statistical projections are based on a combination of his shown player projections for box score stats, as well as 3-year luck-adjusted, regularized, adjusted for factors from NBA shot charts.
Yeah, you've already lost me, but keep going.
Okay, so that's, I just wanted to show you that that's where all of his ideas and thoughts are coming.
Can you explain that?
Yes.
I don't think anyone can explain that.
I will on a podcast. Right. All right. So who do you think he has got winning the most? Do you have this in front of you?
I do not.
Okay. Who do you think he's got winning the most games?
I'm going to guess Milwaukee.
The answer?
Warriors.
Phoenix.
Well, they won the most games last year.
Number two. And you have not said the name.
Okay, so let's see. Who won a bunch of games?
Nets?
By the way, Phoenix, 49 wins is what they
have. No, I would think Celtics, maybe.
With no coaches.
Oh, that's Nets. True.
I mean, you still have KD and Kyrie playing.
No, I don't think it's the Nets.
No, they're not high on the Nets at all.
I'm going to... I don't think it'll be the Warriors.
Memphis?
I'm going to do something messed up on you guys. He broke it into the East and the West. So So the West, you've got number one is Phoenix. You don't have number two in the West.
Okay, so number two in the West is Memphis, I'm going to guess.
No, it's actually Denver, 47.9. Okay. Memphis, they've got it number four.
Who's number three? Clippers?
Warriors?
The New Orleans Pelicans.
Oh, they're going to be good. They're going to be better. I wouldn't put them as high as three. Where do they have the Clippers?
Number six, 43.6.
Is Dallas five?
Dallas is seven.
I'm trying to think of who five is.
You got Memphis, number four.
Yeah.
Number five is the Minnesota Timberwolves.
That's a bad prediction.
He's got him winning 45.7 games.
Okay.
The Clippers, number six. Dallas, number seven.
Oh, see, so Golden State has to be in the top eight.
Golden State, number eight. Now, how can they be number eight? His goofy
Because they
formula.
Don't value the regular season. They'll be. He would rank them higher in the playoffs. How many wins does he have them getting?
42.
I think they're going to win more than that.
Yeah, 42 is low. I mean, they're the defending champs.
Wait a minute. So I just realized something. They don't have the Lakers in the top eight.
They do not.
Are they nine?
They've got the Lakers at nine.
Okay.
So a play-in team. But listen to this drop that he's got. All these are really, really close, like in the 40s. In fact, Golden State is 41.9, so almost 42 wins. He's got the Lakers at 36 wins, which would be an unmitigated disaster.
Okay.
Do you agree?
No.
36 wins would be an unmitigated 36 disaster.
36 is less than 82.
36 is less than 82.
Yeah. I have the Lakers at 82.
Oh, you have them at 82. Yeah. Okay. But if they won 36, it would be a disaster.
Yes, it would.
It would be. Here's what he says about the Lakers. Unlike the deep East, there's a big drop-off in my West projections from the top eight teams to the group fighting for the final two play-in spots. The Lakers can rightfully expect better health from stars Anthony Davis and LeBron James than last year when they won just 33, but only Patrick Beverley rates well among the team's revamped backcourt rotation and the Lakers' minimum additions at center, Thomas Bryant, Damian Jones, also lag as compared to their peers at the position. So that's what Kevin Pelton writes about the Lakers. He's got them number nine. So I think that the Lakers can be better than number nine. I think if you get, say, 65 games out of AD and 65 games out of LeBron, you're probably going to be in that 7-8 seed area. Do you agree with that? Take off your purple and gold hat.
I could see the Lakers finishing 44-38. Where would that put them on that list?
It would put them as the six.
Yeah, that's about right.
So that's
about right.
That's the upside.
Yeah. That's where I got them. I have 44, 45 wins. Got
to be in the playoffs. Oh, yeah. My God. Got to be in the playoffs.
Well, the thing I like about being number six is it keeps them out of the play-in tournament.
Correct.
Because you can get tripped up in the play-in tournament. Absolutely. And they're an older team. You don't want to play. What, did you have the East in front of you?
I do. I've got the East right here. Who do you think they've got number one?
Milwaukee,
49, winning more games than any team in the league.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay, then is Boston two?
No, Boston is number, I'm looking for him, number...
They just went to the finals. Maybe the coach thing is screwing them up. Is Philadelphia two?
Philadelphia's two, yeah.
Okay. Is Miami three?
Miami is six.
Okay. And they don't have Boston in the top four?
No.
That's just weird.
I think he's made a mistake because Boston is not listed at all.
Yeah, he's made a mistake.
His little formula thing didn't work right because Boston isn't on the list at all.
Okay. And you may be getting a derivative tweet or something.
Correct. And now I'm going to be really stupid. Do you want me to be really stupid?
Of course.
He's got Boston number one with 53.9.
How did you miss
that? I couldn't find him because they were number one and I was down the list.
So even more than Milwaukee.
So Boston is the winningest team according to him. Milwaukee's number two in total wins. Philly is third. Toronto fourth. Atlanta fifth. I think Atlanta's going to be really good. Miami six. Brooklyn seven.
Brooklyn seven.
The Cavs eight. I think they could be a little bit better. Then the Knicks, Hornets, Washington Wizards, Chicago Bulls, and down the list.
So he's got the Knicks in the play-in tournament.
Yeah, Knicks in the play-in tournament, exactly. Okay. I think actually the interesting teams that I'm gonna follow, I really like Atlanta adding DeJounte Murray, and the Cavs I think are only going to get better given what they did during the offseason.
Yeah, you can't tell until the game starts. The one thing about the Lakers is we're going to have a good barometer after the first two games. Because they have to play at Golden State to open the season, and then their home opener, the Lakers' home opener, is two nights later against the Clippers. So we'll know after two games if those games are competitive, if the Lakers have something, or if they've got to shuffle the deck.
Boston.
Exactly right.
Boston sucks. Oh.
F Boston.
That's what it was.
You teach them when they're young.
That was the guy they called Pat McAfee.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Boston.
All right, coming up next for you is Game of Games. Bergman is going to throw us a game. Bergman, is it going to be better than your Bobcat?
Probably not.
Excellent.
I mean, you want me to be honest?
Stay tuned for that.
Yeah, 82-0, Greg, honest.
Good tease. Is anybody from the afternoon show going to play?
Shidano.
Shidano is going to play. Excellent. We will do that coming up next for you. Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right, not just any day.
It Friday.
That's right. And we welcome to the show right now, the great George Shidano. What's going on?
What up, boys?
What's happening, man?
Where are you at now?
Are you still in New York?
No, back home. Just got back home today.
All right, good. Yeah. All right, Bergman, what do we got?
So because it's an F It Friday, it's just going to be a movie game. I'm going to name a bunch of actors. You tell me the movie. We've done this before.
By the way, I may be punch drunk since I've been up since 4 a.m.
Just because you said that, I'm predicting Shidano wins.
Yeah. Exactly.
When you're a little off, it normally bodes well in the contest.
So explain the game. You're going to name cast members.
It's just actors. They're actual actors'
and
names.
And as soon as we think we know the movie, your name is your buzzer?
Correct.
Okay.
Goofy movie.
I should have done the Goofy movie.
All right.
Can you keep track for me,
yeah,
John?
Yeah, I got it.
Perfect, thank you. All right, number one, Rosie O'Donnell.
Mason. Okay.
Mason.
That's A League of Their Own.
It is.
Whoa!
She's been in other movies.
Yeah, I know.
But that's like
but
her
that's
big
the one.
One
that you think of
yeah,
first,
yeah,
for
yeah.
sure.
Some of these are going to be easy, some of them maybe not as much.
Okay.
Number two, Helena Bonham Carter.
Mason.
Mason.
Let's go Sweeney Todd.
No.
All right.
Meatloaf. Edward Norton.
I feel like we've done
Brad
this
Pitt.
Before. Shidano.
Shidano.
Fight Club.
That is
what
right.
What is Fight Club?
Yeah. I mean, okay. I changed
well,
all
we've
of
done
them.
This game before, but yeah. they're not the same movies.
Okay. Different movies, yes.
Mason won, Shidano won.
Number three, Robert Shaw.
Ireland.
Ireland.
Jaws. Yeah.
Jaws is right.
Jaws.
Okay. Oh, nicely done.
Oh, all right. One.
See, I didn't know
right.
who was the
That's
big
the
name.
Only Robert Shaw
one for Mace. One for Shidano. One for Ireland. How are we doing over there, Jorge?
We're doing okay.
Yeah. A goofy movie.
Corey, buzz in, guess goofy movie. You got a chance.
Number four, Rooney Mara.
Jorge. Social Network.
That's absolutely right.
Wow. See, because it was either going to be that or the what's the
girl
movie
with the dragon tattoo is where I would have gone.
Wow. How are we doing, gentlemen?
Jeez.
How are we doing, gentlemen?
I don't know how this is humanly possible, but this game is now a four-way tie.
Yeah, and wow. right after you talked bleep about Jorge, you came
and you pulled one out of your ass. I thought that I would have guessed girl with the dragon tattoo, wouldn't
that's
you?
That's where I was going
to
go.
Social Network.
Go Social Network.
Very, very good. Good, Jorge. All right.
Pick
dead even this game.
First. Jeez. All right. Number five, Fred Savage.
Ireland.
Shidano.
Ireland.
Princess Bride.
Yes.
That is wow.
Fred Savage. Jeez.
Yeah, he's the kid.
I know he's the kid.
One actor mostly. Here, yeah. Right? We're not even hearing a second actor.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. All right. Number six, Harold Ramis.
Mason.
Mason. Oh,
Ghostbusters.
No.
Ireland.
Wrong.
Whoa.
Ireland. Stripes.
Wrong.
Okay.
Oh, wait. You keep going. Keep going. I got some time here.
Harold Ramis, Chris Elliott, Andy McDowell.
Oh.
Sedano.
Sedano.
Groundhog Day.
Groundhog Day is the right answer.
Yeah, Andy McDowell got me. There you go.
So Sedano and Ireland are tied?
Wait a minute.
What? Harold Ramis was in it. He was a doctor.
No.
I don't remember.
I've seen
Harold
that movie 100 times. Are
I think
you
Harold Ramis is 100% in it. I was looking at the
IMDb. He's absolutely in that movie.
Is he? Okay.
Play. I can't remember. I can remember him being a doctor in As Good As It Gets. I don't remember him being a doctor in Groundhog Day.
I was on the IMDb.
Yeah, but I think he may have like produced or directed it.
No.
I think he directed
it. No, he's in the movie.
No, he's in it. I just pulled it up.
What character does he play? What's the name of the character?
I don't know. I haven't seen that movie in 25
years. No, Mason
years.
Says he pulled it up. Mason's looking at it.
He's not in the movie.
Thank you.
He's not in the movie.
He is in the movie.
He is not in the movie.
Yes,
I've seen
the movie.
I have seen Groundhog Day 20 times.
He directed
the
movie.
He is not in the friggin' movie.
He wrote the screenplay.
He was the neurologist. He was a neurologist.
Neurologist is As Good As It Gets.
No, it's right here. It's a neurologist. Cast.
IMDb.
Bill Murray, Phil, Andy McDowell, Rita, Harold Ramis, neurologist, Chris Elliott, Larry, Brian Doyle Murray.
He gave himself a walk on as a neurologist.
Hey, it's my game. One for complaining. Minus one for complaining. Here goes. Ireland loses one for complaining.
Wow. There it is.
I'm not a complainer. You lost a point.
No, I just said he wasn't in the movie.
You started questioning
I mean,
and all that. Minus two for complaining. That's it.
There you go.
Minus two. I didn't even get gold minus 1,000. Screw you.
Minus a thousand.
Idiot. He wasn't in the movie.
He was in the movie.
He plays the neurologist.
There is no neurologist in Groundhog Day. Minus 2,000. I'll die on this hill.
Ireland's going to go back and watch the movie.
I am. As soon as I may do it during crosstalk. All right, how many are left?
What's the score?
There's two left.
Well, I'm taking myself out. So
right.
You,
well,
that,
right.
Who got?
I have two.
Who got Harold Ramis there?
I do.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. So it's Sedano two. You guys each have one.
Okay.
I have minus 3,000.
Look, if we're being honest. I only guessed Groundhog Day because you said Andy McDowell. That's the only reason I guessed.
Yeah, that's a giveaway. Yep.
Bill Murray.
But you waited. You were smart. You waited.
All right, there's two more in a tiebreaker.
All right.
Number seven, Bill Paxton. Okay.
Ooh, Bill Paxton.
I don't know.
Oh, you got a guess?
Wait.
Ireland.
A lot of them.
Sedano. God damn it.
Ireland.
No, hold on.
You three, two.
Titanic.
I'm third if Ireland gets this wrong.
It's Titanic. He was in Titanic.
What? No way!
He was in Titanic. He was with
the
old lady when she dropped.
Yeah, he had a big
part. Yeah, he was. He was. All
right. Wait. So this is the last one.
Wait, but that's the movie that you guessed. There's no way you guessed
Dude,
that.
They're watching me. We're all sitting.
And by the way, it's Bill Paxton. And I think you rang. I think you buzzed in. After hearing the word Bill.
Hey, I'm losing. I have to buzz in.
Well, wait, hey, so here it is. You guys, I'm now out with my minus 3,000. but, Mace, you get...
I can still do it.
Yeah, you can tie him. But it's Jorge 2, Sedano 2, and Mason 1.
Right.
And, Greg, you got this plus a tiebreak?
This plus a tiebreaker, yes.
All right, I'm out now, so go.
All right, number 8, Morgan Freeman.
Mason.
Sedano.
Mason.
Shawshank Redemption.
No.
Sedano.
Okay, Sedano.
The Dark Knight.
That's absolutely right.
What?
Yes!
I told you Sedano was going to win. I told you, Sedano. The minute Sedano said, I'm punch drunk, I said, that's the favorite.
That is Sedano. Crazy. Of all the Morgan Freeman movies.
I thought for sure you were going Driving Miss Daisy.
No.
Wow.
Oh, God, Sedano, that's a pretty impressive performance.
Yeah, the minute, George, you said you were working on No Sleep, that's when people rise to the top.
So, Sedano, you fly first class?
I do, yes.
Oh, that is so cool. I always wonder what's going on up in front of the plane.
I got to sleep because of it a little bit.
Did you have, like, layback seats and all that stuff?
Yeah, Delta has that on those flights, like, cross-country, they have those lay-down ones.
This is like... I always wonder what it's like to fly in first class. I've done it a couple of times.
Then why are you wondering if you've done it?
Well, because there's a curtain there, and you wonder what's going on the other side of the curtain. And is
I feel like Cappy would be like, what's her face, Kristen Wiig in Bridesmaids?
Yes, where she runs up to the front.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That would be Cappy. He would Cappy would be like
would edge his way in,
sneaking in. Yes,
yes. Did you hear? Forget that. I was going to bring up a sports thing, but then I thought, no,
you can't go sports and you can't go serious.
Sedano's going to storm off.
Yeah. You can't do anything related to Tua because that's sports. Correct. And serious.
That happened in real time while we were watching it, which was wild.
Isn't that crazy? Yeah.
It was wild to watch in real time.
Many, many people are tweeting that there actually was an appearance by Harold Ramis as a neurologist. I just don't remember it.
There you go.
If it turns out I'm right, if it got cut out of the movie.
Carry over to like the next game?
No, it's a one-time penalty.
One-time thing. Do you think I'm qualified to replace Trevor Noah on The Daily Show?
Absolutely not.
No,
I do.
Not really?
I think you could do it. That show is just you're a traffic cop to the other reporters.
No, you've got to be a comedian, though, like to do that show.
What do you
like,
think I do here every day, George?
Nobody that's done that show except for...
Craig Kilborn wasn't a comedian.
He was an incredible writer. He was one of the funniest, wittiest sports center writers they've ever had.
And he kind of dropped off the public face
of the earth. I don't know what
happened
to Craig Kilborn.
Are you a great writer, Mace? You don't even like to read Ramona's stories.
Her stories are too long. And by the way, Daily Show stories are
shorter. What do you think a 15-minute monologue is?
Yeah, but the best Daily Show host ever was Jon Stewart. Because he just did goofy stuff and did political stuff.
Here's why I'm not qualified, George. I've never seen The Daily Show.
Oh, well, there
never
you go.
Watched
that would hurt your chances.
And I don't think I'm smart enough to do it. You gotta be really smart.
You do have to be really smart.
I'm smarter than I am on the radio. In real life, I'm smarter than I am when I'm on the radio.
I think you could do like the Hammy Cuomo show better.
Oh, Cuomo's back. Did you see
that? I know,
that?
News Nation.
On
News
some
Nation.
Weird channel, yeah.
Let's get after it.
I think we should all watch it just for the old bit and bring back Hammy Cuomo.
Oh, he's so hammy. He's so fantastic.
Amnesthesia.
What is that?
That's you showing off your smarts.
Amnesthesia.
Yeah, that's a word.
But Mace, you could do that show. That show doesn't require the high wire act of comedy.
Wait a minute, aren't we not doing the high wire act of comedy every day?
Our comedy is subjective.
Your show's funny. Our show's funny.
I mean, funny is our thing. Daily Show funny.
Yeah, I don't watch enough of The Daily Show, especially since Trevor Noah took it over. I stopped watching when Jon Stewart was on it. But you could have done the Jon Stewart version.
No way.
Yeah,
no way.
You're underestimating me.
No chance. Hammy Cuomo, I'm all in on you doing the Hammy Cuomo show.
When Bob Costas, okay, I'll tell this story, and this is not a humble brag. This is a real brag.
Okay.
So when I was when Bob Costas stepped down from The Later Show, there were three candidates for the job.
Yeah.
Big article in the New York Daily News with the three candidates.
Okay.
It was Chris Rock. Mm-hmm. It was, who's the guy that got the job? Greg Kinnear. Mm-hmm. And it was me. And there were pictures of all three of us in the New York Daily. I have that, and I have it framed.
Okay, so you
and
know
I've
how,
got a spotlight on it.
Yeah, so you know how there's the old Marty Schottenheimer line? You're always either getting better or getting worse. Yes. You're always ascending or descending.
Yeah.
I'm going to say right now, I've known you for a lot of years. That's your
lie of the
apex
day.
Moment, right?
Oh,
That's as high as you felt about yourself ever.
100%. That story, when I was in the paper, I was like, because I was living in New York, and I was in the New York Daily News, and it was fantastic. But that was probably my apex moment.
There you go. All downhill from there, George.
Who took over that show?
Kinnear.
Was Kinnear?
Yeah, Kinnear got the job.
Oh, when did Carson Daly take that show?
Are you and you're not
after Kinnear?
Oh, I don't remember Kinnear doing it. I remember Kinnear doing Talk Soup.
Kinnear did do later.
Yeah,
yeah,
okay.
He did do later after Bob Costas. All right, let's hit the super stage. Woo, 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 woo. Is Scappy there? There you go. The day's not complete till you hear that. Okay, so here's what I'm doing tonight. I am going to a very, very fancy dinner.
Mm-hmm.
So we get...
what about the UCLA game?
I'm sure I will hear about it.
Oh, please.
What about eating in bed?
When do they kick off? 7 o'clock?
7:30. ESPN.
Get
from the Rose Bowl.
Get your tickets at Costco. They're free.
Or you can just walk in.
By the way, UCLA is going to win that game.
2.5-point underdog, I think. Right, Greg?
They're going to win. Washington hasn't even played a game on the road yet.
I'll take Michael Penix for the win.
Okay. You want to put some mythical money on it?
You know, I actually will. It's Washington minus two. Give me 5,000 mythical dollars on Washington minus the two.
Ireland and Bergman, I don't know. I don't think I actually have mythical money, but I will double that.
Oh.
10,000 on UCLA.
Wow.
Yeah. Sedano.
On your school.
I am watching a scene with Harold Ramis in Groundhog Day.
There it is.
Love Harold Ramis.
Yep, so I was wrong.
Now you should get minus 3,000.
Well, I did, I think, eventually. I complained enough where he just kept piling on the penalty.
How could Sedano and I get some mythical money so we could get involved in some of these wagers?
We'll just give it to you.
Yeah,
you get 100 grand each starting
the bank
today.
Of mythical money.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
We now each have 100 grand.
Yeah, 100 grand each.
So wait, bank George, of Bergman. And George, you're betting how much on UCLA?
10 grand on UCLA.
10 large.
Yeah.
Mm.
Plus the two.
You got any bets, Cappy?
Mythical money!
Wait a second. I want a piece of that.
Yeah, I get a piece of that.
Well, who do you want? You want
mythical
UCLA? Or you want what?
Money.
Now, the rule is, Cap, that since Sedano got his bet in first, the only way you can take UCLA is to bet more than George, or you can bet as much as you want on Washington. So how do you want to play it?
I will take Washington.
For how much?
I'll take 5K.
You gotta go more than five. I did five, so do 10.
Oh, all right, I'll do 10.
Wait a minute, you went against the mighty Bruins?
I did.
How could you?
I know, and that crowd would be really angry with me, wouldn't they?
Now, why do you have two? I have 2.5 here.
For who?
I have 2.5. It's you. I have Washington minus 2.5.
Okay, then that's good. No. Yeah, 2.5. You always get George the best line you can get.
So if you have 2.5,
you get 2.5.
Okay. I bet you UCLA does now win. I mean, I'm like the mush. So, I mean, now that I've bet on Washington, you can pretty much guarantee the UCLA victory.
I can't tell you one player who plays for Washington.
Michael Penix, the quarterback.
Who's the coach?
He's the transfer, yes.
Who's
the
coach?
He used to be the Fresno State head coach.
Okay. There you have it. There's your inside information for
nice
tonight's
work,
Husky
everybody.
Washington
talk.
Yeah, nice job.
Game. So, I'm going to a 7-course dinner tonight.
Okay.
I say you peter out after course four.
Are you kidding? Why?
Because it's a lot of food.
Are you paying?
A lot of food. Yes, we are paying. So I get food delivered from this place called NutriFit. Strongly recommend, healthy, all that kind of stuff. Great lady named Jackie runs it. So every once in a while she puts on a dinner. And tonight is a 7-course dinner. The theme is Mexican food. Mexican food.
Well, that won't
seven
be bad.
Seven
courses
small portions.
Mexican.
Right.
Right.
It could be chips and guac.
They have like an amuse-bouche.
Yeah.
A what?
Amuse-bouche.
You don't know what an amuse-bouche is, Cap?
No, you'll have to tell me.
Just a little.
It's a taste of what's coming.
Taste of something.
Oh.
Yeah, it's like
what they do in fancy restaurants.
It's a little tiny appetizer.
Okay.
Yeah. So fancy dinner. I got to dress up. I got to do all that stuff. But I'm very, very excited for it. And yesterday, I don't know if you guys heard this, but I went into a cryo chamber. Have you ever done cryotherapy?
Oh, yeah. Ireland have talked, and I have talked about this.
Have
you
done it, George?
I've done it a lot.
Yeah. I've done it a decent amount of times in the past.
Do you believe in it?
I do. I haven't done it in a while just because time hasn't worked out. But I always feel like really energized and refreshed after the fact.
I think that's what I felt energized. I don't know if my soreness was because I'm back at the gym now and I've got a personal trainer and all that stuff. So I'm sore all the time. I think it might have helped that a little bit. They claim that you burn 500 to 800 calories by doing 2 minutes.
I don't know
in the
if you actually burn that amount of calories. I feel like that's up for debate.
Well, and plus, Mace, when you got out of the cryo chamber and went straight to the donut shop, it kind of defeats the
true
purpose.
Correct.
Right, but if you can lose 800 calories and then you can just fill back in with like 600.
Donuts.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, last
trainer that doesn't know you, is that right? He has no clue who you are?
No clue.
He doesn't know that you're a big radio star?
Has no idea.
He doesn't know that you almost took over whatever late night show you were just talking about?
Later with Bob Kyle. Almost later with Steve Mason. Very close.
He doesn't know this.
No, is completely unaware.
Wow, that could have changed the trajectory of a lot of things around here.
I would probably be the host of the Today Show by now.
Of course.
What was the apex of your career? Or have you hit the apex yet?
I don't think so.
See, I plateaued. I have plateaued.
I mean, I'm sure Ireland is loving to hear that.
Ireland, have you plateaued?
Oh, of course, yeah.
Ireland's got his dream job, though.
But
I got my dream job.
Yeah.
Well, I'm talking about the Lakers.
Oh, yeah.
But it doesn't, things can change. I mean, you never know. There may be a job out there much bigger than this for you that you just haven't even thought about.
Haven't seen yet. Yeah.
Right.
What if
the Culture Pop podcast becomes like the next Joe Rogan Experience?
Oh, can you imagine? It is International Podcast Day.
Yeah.
Oh, it is?
Yeah. So listen to the Culture Pop podcast on Apple, Spotify, or stevemason.com.
It seems like everybody does have a podcast.
Yeah, they do. It's sort of standard issue now. What about you, Cappy? What's your apex?
Well, George knows this. You know, my 2 years as the host and executive producer of Stable Wars, you know.
I mean, something for God's sake.
Hello?
Lindsay
was complaining about Chewy.
Lindsay was wondering. Whenever Lindsay comes in, we hear that.
Yeah.
Lindsay's something going on with Chewy?
No, remote. She's remote?
Okay. She's remote.
Yeah. My other set of headphones.
Hey, Linz.
Hi.
Welcome. Welcome to the broadcast.
You're welcome to the show.
It's still her birthday week.
It's true.
It is still her birthday
week. Did Sedano and Cappy get you anything for your birthday?
They wished me happy birthday.
That's right.
No gift?
No gift.
Well, we haven't seen each other.
That's true.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't ask for a gift, you know? I mean, Cappy actually did get me a gift when he was in Cleveland. He got me...
Oh, that bucket hat.
Yeah, he got me that sweet Browns bucket hat, so...
Have you been rocking
that
it?
That is sweet.
Yeah, yeah,
Greg does gifts?
Greg does gifts.
Yeah, I gave a gift to, well, sorry, Lindsay. I gave one to Laura. I gave one to Jorge. Yeah.
Well, Bergman's the only guy I know who could give out gifts and get in trouble for it. He just backed right into that.
Yeah, really did. It's like, oh, shoot. We're talking about birthday.
You did a really nice thing for Jorge, and then you made Lindsay feel like crap.
I did get happy birthdays for 2 days in a row after that company email. Erroneously said the 27th.
Right, you got two birthdays.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. So that's good.
So, Bergie, you give gifts to people at work?
Yeah,
I give gifts to people at work.
No, yeah, I give it to Laura. I gave it to Jorge. Yeah,
and so for people that don't receive them, should they be thinking to themselves, "What? I mean, what
less
what's the,
than?
Yeah,
yeah,
what is,
yeah, yeah substandard.
Completely agree.
Every day,
yeah, right? Substandard, you know? For sure.
I don't give them to Mason and Ireland because they make way more than I do.
Well, they don't need anything,
right? Exactly.
No. Wait, so, you only give gifts to people that you think or know make less than you?
No.
Yes.
No.
Because that's sure what that sounded like.
I said the people that I work with on a daily basis.
You're management, so you know what everybody makes.
I don't know what people make.
Well, isn't that your job? You're the assistant program director. You don't know what everybody makes.
I don't know what people.
Wait, you don't have access to everybody's contracts?
I do not have access to contracts.
You have not examined everybody's contract, just out of curiosity, been like, what does Ireland make?
Nope. Not once.
Interesting.
I make $1 more than Mason.
Yes. Right.
Because his name comes first. That's the deal.
Best dollar I spend all year.
Mason, what year would that have been with Bob Costas and you potentially taking over Greg Kinnear and standing
somewhere
your way?
Late 90s, 97, 96, okay, somewhere
so
in there.
Here's the question. Who would have been your first guess?
So I got to think about...
In the 90s, mid-90s. Like who was like the hottest person in the mid-90s you could have gotten for later on NBC with Steve Mason?
Or just the person that, I know who would be a great guest. It would be a boffo number that you would be thrilled to have.
Okay.
Johnny Carson.
Oh, can you imagine?
Yeah.
I don't think he would have done later with Steve
not
Mason.
Not gettable. I got to meet Johnny Carson. So I used to be friends with... you know Peter LaSalle?
Yeah, produced Carson for years.
Peter LaSalle was a friend of mine because he worked on The Snyder Show and I worked on The Snyder Show.
So, here are the movies, the highest grossing movies for 1997.
Yeah.
All right.
Titanic.
Men in Black.
Will Smith.
Yeah. Or Tommy Lee Jones.
Tommy Lee Jones is reportedly just a jerk.
I met him once and I had the opposite experience.
I heard he is just a jerk to everybody.
John, where did you meet him, John Ireland?
The same girl, the girl who used to cut my hair, cut Tommy Lee Jones's hair, and I went in the chair after him once, and I talked to him for about 20 minutes. He was super nice.
College roommate?
Richard Dreyfuss?
No. Al Gore.
Really?
Yeah, Tommy Lee Jones' college roommate was Al Gore.
Yeah.
Wow, that's interesting.
Gene Hackman and Dustin Hoffman lived together when they were struggling actors in New York.
Yeah, yeah.
Liar Liar is in this conversation.
Jim Carrey would be fantastic, although he can be really a dark guy, but he's fascinating.
Yeah. Let me see. There is Titanic, as John mentioned. Air Force One, Harrison Ford.
Harrison Ford, yeah.
My Best Friend's Wedding, Julia Roberts could have been on the show.
Yeah.
Or Batman and Robin, George Clooney.
Oh, Clooney, that's the worst Batman movie.
It is the worst Batman movie.
It's by far the worst.
Yeah, it's really bad.
Wait a minute.
Val Kilmer one isn't good.
I was just going there. Yeah. And wait a minute, what's the one where Alicia Silverstone plays Batgirl?
I'm pretty sure that one is also Batman and
that
Robin.
That one is Batman and Robin.
So then maybe you're
and
right.
And Chris O'Donnell
plays... I mean, Bergman at one point tried to make the case to us that the Val Kilmer one was the best one and then realized he was really, really wrong version.
No, I said that the Michael Keaton one was the best one, but I said that Val Kilmer was
better than Christian Bale. He said Val Kilmer was better
Christian
than Christian Bale.
Yes.
No, Christian Bale's better.
No, he's not a good Batman.
I'm Batman.
I'm not getting into this again.
I'm not getting into this again. It created 6 months of Suris in my life. I'm not getting back into this.
I won't do it.
Con Air? Oh. Oh, Con Air, Mace.
Oh, Nicolas Cage.
Nicolas Cage.
Yeah.
Hey, Mace, how did you get yourself into the final three? I mean, because
Wants to know, because now Cappy's
going to... Yeah, because Cap wants to hire the publicist that got you that far.
Don't you guys find that interesting? I mean, you got some big names in there.
So here's how it went down.
Yeah.
A guy named David Biancooley, who is... you hear him on NPR now. He was a writer for the New York Daily News. So he was a guest on my show a bunch of times when I was doing the Snyder Show.
So he did you a favor.
That's what you do.
And he... talk to people at NBC, and the NBC people are the ones that leaked this to the New York Daily News, and then David made sure I was in it. And then,
good for him.
And then the show that you worked on, Tom, what was his last name, the older gentleman?
Tom Snyder.
What, other than hosting it when Tom was off, what else did you do there?
Hosted when he was off, and I hosted a radio show.
It was a little trickier than that, Cap. So Snyder did what was basically a radio TV dual... thing where he would come in for, he was on the air for 3 hours.
Right. And here's the way it worked. So I would do the first hour and a half. Then we would simulcast.
You were like the warm up act?
I was the warm up act. Then we would simulcast Tom's show, which was the Late Late Show. And then he and I would do the last half hour together.
And then leaving from the 690 when you had Mason in Ireland and then going to New York, how did all that happen?
So ESPN, or at that point, 1150, made me I got an offer from New York to go, and it was more money than I thought I would ever make. And
ESPN LA made back then,
1150,
made a very competitive offer.
A six-month contract is what they offered me.
Wow.
So I'm like, I can't stay, guys. I got a three-year guaranteed solid deal. I'm gone. So I took the New York job. Now, you came in after me. I always wondered what it was like when we bailed. Did they say anything about us?
They as in management didn't, because I thought management changed, I think.
Yep.
It was the afternoon idiots that would talk, you know.
The afternoon idiots were the reason why I didn't like
that. Now,
that
was Opie and Anthony. Are they still there?
Because they blew themselves up.
They all got fired.
Yeah, they detonated themselves.
Not only did they get fired, but then they blew up their show. They blew up their relationship. But, John Ireland, here's a question for you.
Yeah. Wait, speaking of blowing up, Mace, I actually have the guy that I think you could have had on that first show. If you were doing, like, a pilot, you should have had Gallagher on. Back in those days.
No.
Just blowing up watermelon.
Baking a watermelon on his head.
Oh, that's a classy
that
operation.
But John, come on. That would have been great.
But John, did you feel like, wait a second, Mace, you're leaving me?
No, because I had just gotten the Laker job. I got the Laker sideline job right before that.
Cappy, are you talking about this today? Because I literally said yesterday that if J.J. Redick said he'd take your spot, I'd push you out the door for J.J. Redick.
No, not so much. I forgot about that. Although I did think a little bit about it. Like, I would love it when you call J.J. Redick an idiot, a dope, a moron, or you tell him to shut up on the air.
Oh, but I wouldn't do any of that to him.
No, of course you wouldn't, because you would actually have respect for your partner at that point, whereas everybody else you have no respect for, but that's neither here nor there. But
coming Monday, Sedano and JJ.
Sedano and JJ.
Well,
Redick.
Actually, you know what's funny? He actually got more offended when I said, you know, because he was like, fine, whatever, JJ Redick, I kind of get it. And then I'm like, he's like, is there anyone else? I said, well, maybe Marcellus. And then he really got it.
Yeah, that really bothered me. The JJ Redick thing I could live with. But come on, Marcellus.
Let me tell you something, Cappy. You're not going anywhere.
You don't think?
No, you make me laugh.
Oh. Yeah, but Mason has literally no power whatsoever. So he can say you're not going anywhere, but you could get fired tomorrow.
Then,
and Mason would say, Cap, can you do a podcast just for me?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. But then Cappy was like, well, then I'll go work with Keyshawn. Let Keyshawn come here and work with me. And then Chris Morales texted and said Keyshawn would never work with Cappy.
I think Keyshawn will work with me. If anything ever happened to Max, I think Keyshawn will work with me.
What do you mean if something happens to Max?
So you're going back
to
New York?
If Max left or something, I think I'd be a perfect replacement.
Well, yeah, but then you'd have to move back to New York.
I'd do both shows.
From where?
I would do both shows. Like Keyshawn. Sometimes from LA.
Yeah, that's true.
Sometimes from New York.
He does stuff from out here.
Stephen A. does shows from all over the place.
I would love to continue to talk about this, but look what time it is.
It is
4:12:05. I have given you 5 seconds of bonus content.
Yes.
Have a great weekend, boys.
All right. Coming up next for you is Shidano and Cappy. Monday is a big day. We'll get you ready for Lakers-Sacramento preseason basketball. That'll be on AM 1110, and we'll get you ready for Rams-Niners. God, I hate the Niners. That is Monday Night Football here on 710. Super Crosstalk is brought to you by Coors Light, keeping Southern California chill all season long. See you Monday, 710 ESPN.